That was the ass beating of a lifetime. I don't even know another way to put it. Like, typically in these reactions, we open up with, you know, kind of the crazy parts of the game and what happened and just an overall overview. But you don't have to be John Madden or a football savant to realize that this Indiana team, that they're unbelievable. And we're going to get into it here on Crane and Cone. Appreciate you guys joining us. Make sure if you're not subscribed, you do that. You know the rules here. Over 200K on our way to 500 million and even beyond. I don't want to sell us short. Mm-hmm. David Cone, former Michigan quarterback, even though he's got an Indiana shirt on. Blaine Crane, former Western State, Colorado wide receiver, even though he's got an Ireland sweater on or hoodie, whatever. I'm to the point now, David, and this is something that we've actually said for a while. It's almost sociopathic the way that Indiana's going about this. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've ever coached or played, you understand that it's actually harder to come back out and play well after something good happens than after something bad happens. I mean, I never had to motivate a DB to come out and play better that next drive after he gave up a big play or something. It was always harder to get him up to make plays after something good happened. I am just, again, sitting here trying to pick my brain and think the last time that I've seen a team that is as mentally and physically disciplined as consistently as Indiana is. And Oregon had a great year, this, that, and the other. We can sit here and say that. But this night is about Indiana and just what Kirk Cignetti, who I don't think he feels any emotion. I don't think he feels anything. And it's kind of like what Dexter from that show's dad was trying to get him to be instead of what he ended up being. Like, it's amazing to me, Cone.
You know, what Indiana is doing, and I know they have one more big one to go. They're going to try and win the national championship. But even if they fall short of that, what Indiana has done is it's one of the most incredible stories I can remember in all of sports, not just in college football, because you really don't see this in this sport. College basketball, yeah, you can go get a couple of really great players, have some old guards, let's say, make a run in the tournament. College baseball, have a couple ace pitchers really shut people down, make a run in Omaha. The NFL, the way the draft structure works, you can go from worst to best in any given season. What Kirk Cignetti and the Indiana Hoosiers are doing absolutely shocks me. And when you look at this roster with 8 4- and 5- stars, and I think Oregon had over 50 4- and 5-star players, this is healthy for our sport. Because you have a lot of programs across the country who either have not had success in a long time or some never had success. I mean, this program right here was the losingest program in the history of the sport. Now they've won, what, 28 games in the past 2 years? It shows you are not more than one solid hire away from being a championship caliber football team.
Hear, hear. And, you know, I think it's echoing a little bit of what Herb Street said the other night, and I agree with him after the game. But, Blaine, before we get into how it happened and what happened, as X-rated as that's going to be, what do you think, dude? Like, I mean, you're sitting here at my house right now. We're watching this from the jump, pick six, first play. Just nuts.
Look, Indiana's a phenomenal football team. We've seen that throughout the year. I mean, they beat Ohio State. They beat Oregon. It's kind of funny. They always say it's harder to beat a team twice. Indiana's beating their ass. Not only beating their ass. Well, I mean, what, they won 30-20 the first time on the road? And now it's not even close. But I look on the other side a little bit too. If you're Dan Lanning in Oregon, how do you come out like this? Really, how do you come out? You throw a pick six on the first play of the game, right? Then you go down on a drive, and then you just fall apart. You did everything you couldn't do to beat a team like Oregon. Beat a team like Indiana, excuse me. And it's just another thing with Dan Lanning. You have all the money. You have all the resources. Look, I know you made it to the semifinals this year, and that's a great year. But will he be able to get it done? I mean, at what point, what's holding them back? Is he not a good enough coach? I mean, we see what Cignetti has done with Indiana with not a lot of talent on the roster. I think you can thank the transfer portal a little bit and the way he's made decisions. But Dan Lanning has all the resources. He has more money than King Midas had silver or gold back in the day and still couldn't get it done. And not only get it done, you got embarrassed.
Yeah.
You got embarrassed for four quarters.
Well, look, I'm going to be honest. If Cignetti keeps up at this rate, I don't know if anybody's going to be able to get it done because they're only going to get more talented. And if they keep that culture and structure, I mean, goodness gracious. But let's talk about
back to last year, too. I mean, you got embarrassed.
Yeah, let's talk about Oregon for a second. To Blaine's point, what makes Indiana so dangerous, and again, I'll continue to echo this sentiment, is that most teams lose games, they don't win them. Now, that's not saying that they never win them. Sometimes you go out and play great, but there is a beauty and an art form to not making mistakes. And Indiana just does not beat themselves. And when you're dealing with athletics in general, but especially college athletics, being able to go out there and consistently not turn the ball over. I mean, you look at the numbers of these guys. They're like number one in turnover margin. They're like number two in third down defense. They're number one in penalty yardage a game against them. They're just elite at everything you have to be elite at to not put yourself in a position to lose the game. And then Oregon comes out, pick six first play, which in all actuality is the best time ever to throw a pick six. It's never a good time, but if there's ever a best time, it's the first play of the game. You hit the back on a play action, and you end up fumbling the ball. You fumble again, and then, look, Indiana caught a couple breaks, too. You know, early in that game, that strip sack that Mendoza got back, yeah, it was third down. They didn't go score, but they were able to punt, pin Oregon back a little bit. And then the fumble from Mendoza a second time on the scramble, they're able to get it back. But just overall, the level of efficiency that this team plays with and how fundamentally sound they are everywhere at everything, complementary football, all three phases, it is just hard to beat that, even if you have more talent than that in this sport.
Mm-hmm. Well, I definitely think there's a lot of criticism that can be laid at the feet of Auburn. I hear everything that Blaine's saying about Dan Lanning. He's had some.
Oh, you mean Oregon, David? Believe me, there's plenty of criticism for Auburn, too, but go ahead.
Oh, did I say Auburn? Sorry.
Yeah, it's Freudian slip, but you're right. Yeah. We can talk about that if you want.
Sorry, I just saw Blaine's post about Deuce Knight possibly going to Ole Miss. But Oregon, yeah. No, I hear what Blaine's saying about Dan Lanning. He's had some cracks. And I do think that we need to talk about Dante Moore against the best competition this year. Has not played like this first-round talent that everyone seems to want to prop him up as, even though that would be more about a projection rather than what he's shown on the field. I think that we should have that conversation here in a second, but first I'd actually like to lay a different criticism at Oregon, and I'm ready for the heat in the comments. I'm just wondering how badly the fan base wants this. I know Phil Knight wants a championship. That guy's given everything he has. I know Dan Lanning, whatever faults he may have as a coach, I know Dan Lanning wants it, but I'm sitting here watching a semifinal Peach Bowl with Indiana filling up 90% of the stadium.
Yeah,
I mean, Oregon. No, Oregon's been good since I played. They came to the big house and they thumped us. Y'all can't have more than 10% of the fan base. When we do Oregon videos all the time. They're not getting the most views out of all the fan bases in the country. I mean, how badly does the Oregon fan base really want to support this?
Well, and look, it's crazy to say that, but it's true. And then you look at Oregon's home games and you're like, there's a legitimate home field advantage there, but that's a home game. Right? I know people have to, not everybody lives in Eugene and they got to travel there, but typically you're going to be closer around it. I feel you. And look, at the end of the day, if I'm Dan Lanning, like, I know the money's probably going to keep you there and you do have the resources, but that's got to be a tough look when you run into that stadium in Atlanta and you are drowning in Indiana fans with what you've done at Oregon. So to your point, Cone, I think the most dangerous part of that is Dan Lanning looks around and is like, maybe I should go somewhere that cares more. I'm not saying he will, but I would be a little bit worried about that in the back of my mind, because to your point, they didn't show up at this game. They don't show up in the views, right? And that's universal, to be honest with you. I think there's some legitimacy to that, and it's something that we should talk about. But I do, Blaine, I want to shift this conversation to what people are going to say, and you know that a team got destroyed when we're starting to just already talk about best team ever and like compare them against other teams. Me and you started having this conversation about beginning of the second quarter. And I think we both agree here. A lot of people I've seen are saying, could Indiana be the best team ever? There's another game to go. They're dominating at this level. I'm gonna pose a question to you first, Blaine. Okay. And I want you to answer it yes or no, and then I want to pose it to David yes or no, and then I want, Blaine, you to go into why you think what you think. This Indiana team plays that 2012 Bama team.
No.
Beat Notre Dame in the Natty.
No.
That was 2013, but it's a 2012 team. What, are they beating that 2012 Bama team?
No.
What's the score?
I would say, I'd say like 35-14.
Tone. This Indiana team plays 2012 Bama. What do you think?
No, I mean, to me, you got to win the national championship this year before you can even start to have this conversation at all, right? Like, I mean, I think that's only fair. That's only fair to even this Indiana team. Like, go. I mean, I watched an undefeated Kentucky basketball team not even be able to get past Wisconsin in the Final Four to make it to the national championship game. So, look, go forward, beat Miami, go undefeated this season, and then to even be involved in this conversation, how cool is that to be talked about with like 2001 Miami, the Bama team you're talking about, 2019 LSU. And every year a team pulls this off, they kind of get thrown into that mix, which I think is a lot of fun. And we love to have these conversations. But regardless if they end up being the best team or not, like I was just saying with whether or not they win the championship or not, they're going to be one of the best stories regardless of how much they play together as a team. And this kid, Fernando Mendoza, man, I'm just telling you, I think he's going to be an incredible professional player. He's going to play on Sunday for a long time with his ability, with the ball placement, his mobility. He's one of the few guys I think could go to the Raiders and not be distracted by what's going on in Las Vegas.
Yeah, no, he would be out there trying to get people not to go to the casino.
For sure. I get serious Andrew Luck vibes from him. The way he approaches the game and like the cerebral aspect to it, obviously has a bit more asset with the mobility, but serious Andrew Luck vibes.
I would say, and look, I know a lot of people aren't going to be happy about this comp. Okay. I know that, but I think he's a better version of Sam Darnold.
I don't hate that.
Sam was the number one pick too, man.
I don't hate that. I think maybe the best way to frame it is he the safest bet at QB, like as far as just drafting, like you know this guy, outside of something crazy.
Yes, and you know what? All the touchdowns that he threw and everything he did tonight, the most incredible play was just a random, what was it? It might have been just second down. The random 15-yard out to the field.
Oh, yeah, that was an absolute
to the field. The ball's in the air for like 40 yards. That won't make SportsCenter. No one will be talking about that. I'm sitting there watching that play as someone who's had to try and make that throw in awe.
No, if you watched him last year at Cal, like you obviously didn't think he was going to come to Indiana and win the Heisman, but you could see the talent.
We watched him ball against Auburn.
You could see
we watched him ball.
Y'all were talking about him that week after that game.
Yeah, I was like, this kid, that's why I was begging Hugh to go get him out of the transfer portal. And you go get Jackson Arnold. Oh, my God. I should write a book about it.
Who thought he was going to be this good? Who thought Indiana? It's funny. Maybe I already said this on one of our recaps, or maybe I was just saying this at the cigar bar. But we talked a lot about like, okay, who's going to be this year's Indiana based off what they did last year? Is it going to be Illinois or one of these other teams creeping in? And then halfway through the year, we said, oh, Indiana's this year's Indiana because they're really good. But now we can't even say that because they're not last year's Indiana. We're comparing them to the greatest teams of all time, for God's sakes.
Yeah, well, and here's so much fun. Well, here's the craziest part. And this is what I've just told. It's funny. I get texts from coaching buddies throughout games. And probably the craziest part is it's not like Indiana like invented this brand new offense or system that like nobody else did. And it worked amazingly when you just brought it out of the box for a year and then defenses catch up. I'm not saying Indiana doesn't have really good schematical stuff. They do. But they're not reinventing the wheel here. This isn't new stuff. This isn't like, oh, it's the Wildcat. Or, oh, they're going up tempo. Or, oh, the wide choice offense. Or the air raid. It's not like that. They are taking, like, it just feels like when I watch them, They have an answer for everything, but they don't do too much because they're so good at what they do and it's normal. It just adds to the impressiveness of it. I don't even know. It just feels like – I feel like James Carville in Old School after – when I watch them play, after Will Ferrell blacks out talking about like industry or whatever, and James Carville's just like, that was perfect. I have nothing else to add. It's amazing to me. It's not some new scheme, Blaine, or they didn't invent anything. They're just way better at it than you are.
Yeah, and sometimes the simpler, the better, in my opinion. You have to be really good at running the foundation of your system, both on offense and both on defense. But I will say this. I think, one, both these coordinators schematically are some of the best in the game.
Mm-hmm. I think they got a good feel for play calling.
Yeah, great, especially
outside of Will on fourth down.
I mean, as that, I can't remember which touchdown it was, but they threw that corner to the end of the end zone. I'm pretty sure they faked it, maybe in the inside zone or something.
No, it was split zone. They ran a split zone action, faked it, and ran the pick.
That's just dirty. And if like you've ever sat in a defensive room, that just sucks. That just sucks. It's almost impossible to stop. And on defense, not only just because I do think Indiana, I mean, Cignetti came out and said it, they couldn't get aligned right, especially in that first quarter. Even when you're not aligned right, the physicality that are in these guys from the linebackers to the safeties. Number five, the corner, who is undersized, who's an undersized corner, is going to be one of the best corners in the nation because Indiana has that mentality. They don't realize that they're a big guy, right? Yeah. They have that little guy mentality, and when you have that and behind that, you're actually really damn good. This is what happens. What happens on the field.
The touchdown you're talking about, are you talking about the one to Omar Cooper Jr.?
Yes.
Okay, so that whole – there was like a three-play stretch there with the insert ISO in the interior, success. Mm-hmm. Pin and pull, pin and pull to the boundary, busted that one, and then the fork route for a touchdown. And like to Jake's point, like the sequence in which you call those plays, no, they're not the first people to ever run any of those plays, but the sequencing matters, the discipline matters, and they just play like a team constantly with a chip on their shoulder. And you said they don't reinvent the wheel, but in an era where 18 to 22 year olds have more distractions than ever with phones on the hip and social media and NIL and could I get more money here and there, they kind of just play galvanized as a team, kind of like a military academy with chips on their shoulder. And that all starts to me with Kirk Cignetti and the coaching staff.
And you know what helps with that is that everybody in Indiana is 25 years old.
That's true too.
One of the oldest teams in college football. And
well,
I think
that was the case, that BYU would win it every year. Like it's still really tough.
Sure. I'm not saying
those guys to like, again, not reinventing the wheel. They just have the best wheel. They just figured out how to make the wheel better than you. And, you know, to Cone's point, the sequencing of the play calling. I mean, I'm trying to remember the last time Indiana busted a coverage. Like, in my mind, like in a big game.
After they got the pick six and then Oregon goes down, 15 plays? The stick nod. I mean, we talked about Jamari Johnson being a big impact player in this game. The stick nod for a touchdown, they didn't bust that coverage, but you could see, I mean, Dante Moore made the correct read there in zone coverage.
And it was a great safeties. Catch.
Right. Again, not a busted coverage, but even that, you're looking at like, man, I don't even see any. They're just rolling everybody right now at this point.
Yeah, you're just deep in your bag, and we're gonna get into the if they win at all, we need to have the discussion. Like I don't think a lot of people will say that they're the best team ever, but we need to have the discussion. I don't know another way to put this, and I don't want to just slobber all over them the whole time, but like it's hard not to when you're just watching them wipe people in big. It's not like this was one game like that they destroyed somebody and they've kind of lucked their way around everybody else. They beat Alabama's ass to death. Like, it's just, I don't know what you do with them. Like, I don't know what you do with them because they're not going to beat themselves. And it's just incredibly, you know, dominant. It's dominant.
You know, when you and I first met and they were talking about expanding the playoff and NIL was coming up and the transfer portal, you know, Jake, you made a case that, well, you know, right off the bat, like in an expanded playoff, you're not necessarily going to see a change of the guard in big, big brands. But what you will see is you'll see it create a little bit more parity downstream. Yeah. Now, granted, Indiana was the only undefeated team this year. They're number one. It's not like they came from the 10th or 11th seed to like win a playoff. So it's not all about playoff expansion. But just from a brand standpoint, I think what you were saying about parity down the line is kind of coming to fruition when you see a program like Indiana be able to do what they've done this year.
Yeah. I mean, the more people you let in the dance, you know, the better chance you have of finding somebody to go home with.
And you're playing Miami in the national championship, who was what seed in this playoff? Right. So it might not be Indiana being the one seed, right. But Miami being the 9th, 10th. I mean, I know it's Miami, but Miami has been on the slide, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And you see what that happened. As dirty and as gross as a transfer portal and NIL might feel to you, which sometimes it is, this is the result of college football. It's more parity. Indiana is killing everybody. Everybody.
It just feels like what you do when you get the NCAA football video game and you go dynasty mode and you're like, you know, I'm going to take some lower level P4 team and turn them into a monster. But you're like, this will never happen in real life. And then all of a sudden, like, it's now happening. Like, they had they got a chance to sweep this whole thing. Win the conference, go undefeated, have the Heisman winner, win the Natty. Like, sweep the whole thing. And this is the world we live in right now in college football.
It feels like when we were fighting the British, right? If all of a sudden a Panzer tank started just rolling through the battlefield, you can shoot at it, right? You can take 30 minutes to load that musket up, buddy. You can get ready, but it doesn't matter.
Or just like the when Columbus landed and found out nobody else had a gun. It's like, well.
Yeah. Relax, bud.
No, I'm just saying. Like, it's word. I promise you.
Yeah, just like that.
As long as we eat a good pregame meal, we're going to win. We're definitely going to win. But anything else y'all want to add? We're going to have a preview of the national championship out here soon. But anything else you guys want to add?
Yeah, one more thing. Indiana. If they do win the national championship, was the highest odds team to ever to do it.
Wow.
100 to 1.
Like before the season.
Before the season started.
That's a good stat.
100 to 1 to win the
Nice. All right. Well, in the comments, let it fly. Let us know what you think. Again, we appreciate you being here. Without you, there is no us. Check Crane and Cone for all your college sports content. And like the chances of Oregon playing on the 19th, we're going. Gone.